Morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program. National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumble Rip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that. Daily number 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land we broadcast from. Also like to acknowledge my mum, father's side, One Year Gunga Leader, and on my mother's side with me in spirit, Dunley Island, Arab, the Sailor Pit Mob. Big shout out. To her family. And look, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Deadly Sister. We're talking Cynthia Louie, MP, Member of Parliament for Cook, for the electorate of Cook. And look, she's backed up the state government's consideration of new youth detention centres, but said imprisoning juveniles should remain the last resort. I agree. Among the wide pool of solutions and intervention strategies, that's the space we're going to talk to Cynthia about. And we've got Cynthia online. Cynthia, good morning. How are you, sister?
Good morning, Bala. I'm good, thank you. And thanks for the opportunity to have me on air.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob were you from.
So, Kulkulabal woman from the Torres Strait Islands, Yam Island in the Torres Strait. My people are the central group of people from back home. Member of Parliament now and look after a vast electorate. And can I also acknowledge the traditional owners of all the land that that we're tuning in from?
Yes.
And I just want to acknowledge all of our elders past, present and emerging.
Thank you, my sister. So beautiful, yes. Look, we're talking about a very important topic here. When you look at, if not North Queensland, Cairns, Townsville, if not across Australia, across the globe in regarding youth crime, it is going berserkers, and look, something needs to be done. I'm thinking along the lines of youth detention centres that we may need to build. It's got to be last resort, as you mentioned here, which I think is the case. But when you're talking about youth that re-offend and continue re-offend, they know the system and they're getting away with it. Something needs to be done here, sister.
Yeah, look, it is quite concerning because, you know, we have a large proportion of youths out there offending. And I think the question here is, you know, why are we seeing, you know, such numbers currently out, you know, behaving in the way that they do? We don't want that. When you talk about, you know, I guess prevention, I think when it comes to youth detention centre, you know, for us, it is about... One, it's about preventing young people going through the system. It is about preventing young people engaging in the system. But it is such a complex issue, and we've got to look at this issue from all different angles. You know, it's government, it's family, it's community, it's the environment in which the child is raised up with. So I firmly believe in a collaborative approach, and I think we should all take responsibility.
Well, exactly. Well, it takes a community to raise a child, so we all need to do our part in that space. As I mentioned, the crime rate is second to none. It is horrific, and look, something needs to be done. And you must take the hats off to these youths because they know the system. They can virtually get away with the crime and take them to the watch house, slap on the wrist, and out next day, and they can do it again. And it's more so the people who are doing it, the young youth who are doing it, it's reoffending. They're the same people that are doing it because they know the system, yes?
It's you know, it's the young people who are out there reoffending. And can I just take you back a couple of years ago? The state government passed legislation to, you know, come down hard on those that small minority of young people out there reoffending. You know, I think it should be acknowledged that community has every right to feel safe, Trevor. There's been a lot of concerns from community that nothing is being done. And can I just also reassure the community that the government is doing all that it can in its power to make sure that we have the right legislation in place to tackle those recidivist offenders on bail. And this is also in line with the introduction of a presumption against bail. And so, you know, we have one of the toughest bail laws in this country. But it also, you know, works in line with the intervention programs that we currently, you know, roll out across the state. The state government has $500 million investment on the table to look at intervention programs that will prevent young people going down the path of, you know, or engaging in the youth justice system, because we want to prevent that at all costs. We don't want to see young people in youth detention center, but we need to invest, you know, we need that significant investment to deter them away from offending, to make better choices for their future.
Make better choices, yeah, that's right. And as I mentioned earlier, Texas Community Raise a Child, so this is just not focused on one area. I'd like to think that we need to focus also on like school attendance, or in regards to the subjects that are in school, the curriculum. They reckon if Gough Whitlam came back to life, the only thing you would see the same is the curriculum. That needs to be changed, especially with our First Nation mob. Sometimes it just doesn't work having four walls around us to learn something. So whether the subject, the curriculum says takes our kids out of school and learning under a gum tree or something to that effect, but it's across the board, is it not?
Look, there's like I said, it's a very complex issue, and you know, this is an issue that, you know, that has many different angles to it, and then there's no one solution to the problem. You are right, we need to look at the education system. How do we better engage kids back into education? When you look at, you know, I mentioned before about you know, family and home life and where kids come from, we know that if there's, you know, if there's social issues experienced at home, whether it's domestic violence, homelessness, whatever it is, you can be assured that kids will be, you know, probably encouraged to go down that path of committing offences in community. And, you know, it saddens me that when we talk about young people, that we have very vulnerable young people who feel that they have no other choice but to get out there and commit offences in our communities.
Exactly.
And like I said, for me, it's about preventing, you know, those sort of behaviours, those undesirable behaviours, because we want them to make better choices for themselves.
Exactly. And you mentioned the word prevention. That's so, so very important. But as you also, in defence of some of the young ones who commit crime, they haven't had a good start in regard to their environment, their life, their upbringing, you know, and so we need to take that into consideration as well.
We do need to take that into consideration, and before I mention about the $500 million that the state government has on the table to, you know, invest into intervention programs to help people with you know, making the right decisions for themselves. Can I just mention a couple of programs here? The transition to success is one that we're engaging with young people into jobs, training, and back to school. You know, and I think getting them involved in meaningful activities in society, you know, and oftentimes, like, there's a whole range of reasons why young people are not able to engage with meaningful activities in our communities. And I think the Transition to Success program is a good example of this government really wanting to support young people in this space. The Restorative Justice Conferencing also is another means that this state government is supporting, so that, you know, that we continue to address the high representation of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander kids engaging in the youth justice system by diverting them away from courts to restorative justice conferences. And it's about, you know, providing a safe environment for them to be involved in the conversation and really think about, you know, the types of behaviours that they're getting themselves involved in, and then matching it up with, I guess, more positive, you know,
exactly.
and I guess helping them to really look at how they can change
mind
their behaviours to get them on the right path. Yeah.
Exactly.
The integrated case management is another one, where we have youth workers working directly with young people to integrate them back into community. So there's a lot of good things happening in this space. Like I said, for the state government, it's about prevention. It is about intervention and diverting kids away from committing those serious offences, but at the same time, we've also got to make sure that community is kept safe with our tough legislation laws.
Exactly. Look, it's a robust conversation. Thank you very much for sharing. Look, all constituents are watching this space so carefully. They are fed up, but we need to operate not with the emotions at the table and make sure that we make the right decisions and which way we go and how we do it. But thank you very much for sharing. You've got a big mountain to climb, the government of Queensland and Australia, I would say. But thank you very much, my sister, and all the best to you. And we'll talk soon.
Thank you, brother. We'll definitely talk soon.
All the best. You take care. Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn there, and that's yarning with Cynthia Louie, Member of Parliament for Cook, and talking about the Detention Youth Centre's conversations in regard to here in Queensland, building one. There's $500 million at the table for that to happen. But as she stated, last resort among a wide pool of solutions and intervention strategies, as she mentioned. Something needs to be done. Things don't change if things don't change. So something needs to be done. And also I think as you say, it's community takes it, community raises a child, so we all need to have input, and it can't be just all about detention and what have you. We need to look at the school system curriculum as well. A lot of kids who are not attending school, well, idle time and idle hands, devil's playground. So they're out and about because they're not at school, you know. What can we do to keep the motivation for them to stay in school, paint the picture, have a vision for their life, their future, their goals and their dreams? Like I said, it takes a community raises a child. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
same, same.
I just remember to eat my home.
What's this, Bola Dubs? Now, noi, we now, eh?
Senda, senda.
Bom dia, minho.
My day.
Na Taiwan now. Niki bia bia, niki malabianta. Zapka, trake.
My day.
Niki bia bia, niki bia bia.
That's my island. Holy column to your drop on my single. That's what bless for all to Rudwa. You can get some of your net and go pass and the Manta press. When you look from the satellite, passing out the water reef and the shape was a giant price. That I want, mean a kind, not a kind, bad sign. Giant is sleep, no make him rise. That's a man.
Some
people
call him no kaila,
no kaila,
no kaila. Some people call him kaila,
kaila,
kaila. Some speak that one in paradise,
paradise,
paradise. Cause he mean ugly naila,
naila,
naila. I will always be my sigma,
my sigma,
my sigma. Cause that one now my island,
island.
Ooh, yeah,
I am the Bala of Central Island of Torres Strait, called Pacific Island.
Ooh, yeah,
I am the Bala of Central Island of Torres Strait, called Pacific Island.
Ooh, yeah.
G'day you mob, this is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now at 1-800-422-416.
Listen now. G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to the NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, the young Indigenous woman working to close the gap in children's ear health, her name is Cassie Hayden. She works for the medical group Earbus Foundation, coordinating program for Pilbara East and South Central, as well as visits the Goldfields and Esperance by the Earbus team. We have Cassie on the line. Cassie, very good morning, sister. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Trev. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you from, sister?
Yeah, so I'm from a small country town called Kellerberrin. That's where we're all from, and also from Meriden, where I grew up.
Yes. And now you're working in a space here with medical group Earbus Foundation. Tell us how you got involved in that and how long you've been doing that, sister.
So basically, I've been here for just over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a different role, so I've recently just stepped into the program coordinating role. I've been doing that since the beginning of the year.
Mm.
So that's basically just liaising with the schools and coordinating the teams and their trips, so flights, accommodation, keeping them on track.
And when you say organising their flights and their accommodation, so we're talking about our mob who are in communities that need to come to the city or to a medical centre to get checked with their ears, is that right?
Yep, so we actually, the families don't come to see us, we actually go and see them.
Okay.
The
mountain yep, going okay. to the people, beautiful.
yeah, exactly. So it's really helpful. We go and visit them. In the communities and things like that, and we bring our team.
Mm-hmm.
We're known as like a one-stop shop, which is really helpful to all the families out there as well.
So meaning what, you check not only on ears, but a medical checkup, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, good, yep. Fantastic.
Health checks, yeah. We have a GP or a nurse practitioner generally on our trip with our nurse and audiologist.
Yes. And what made you go into this field?
Basically, I struggled when I was younger with hearing, but I'm in Perth and I grew up close to Perth, so we had access to all of that stuff.
So emotional strings pulling on you in regard to our mob and communities who've got the same symptoms that you had, but the fact that you was in the city and they're not makes it hard and they could lose their hearing.
Yes, exactly.
Fantastic. So your passion for this job... meant to be, you know, and you're getting paid to do something that you love doing, helping people.
Exactly. I love it. It's great. It's very rewarding.
Good.
I just love the work that we do.
Fantastic. Now, we're talking about the medical group, Earbus Foundation. How many on board when you guys go out and check out communities, my sister?
So when we go out to the communities, we have a team of three, usually. So that's like our nurse practitioner or GP and our audiologist. We do have about 28 staff here. That's including our newborn hearing screeners who work in the private maternity hospitals here in Perth.
And a lot of the staff, are they First Nation people?
We have about three here,
but
our board is 50%.
Good.
Including our chair and deputy chair.
Well, as we know, Cassie, nothing beats black on black. And when you see our mob work with our mob, that opens up a lot of doors.
Yes, definitely.
Fantastic. And so we're talking about a big footprint. So if not driving out, you would fly because some of the places are remote, aren't they?
Yes, they sure are. So we generally we fly to the airports and our teams can travel anywhere in the car for about 3 hours to drive somewhere, yep.
Yeah, fantastic. And are you seeing good results, Cassie, in regard to the work that Group Earbus Foundation is doing?
Yes, definitely. Definitely been improvement I've seen in some of the stats. Yeah, great.
Yeah, that's got to be so rewarding. And then we're talking, everybody out there that's that needs a medical checkup, young and old, male and female. Yep.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, beautiful.
So right. We do focus on the kids.
Okay. Yes.
But we can definitely see anybody that comes to us.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right, my sister. Well, that's great. Thank you very much for sharing. So how often would you go out? Every second week or every third day?
So generally it's once a month.
Once a month,
We have, we have a team for every sort of region, so they'll go out about once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And we work with the schools.
Work with the schools.
So we go when the kids are there, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Okay, fantastic. When you're working with the schools, what about our First Nation health organisations? Any of our health organisations out there in communities, do you communicate with them?
Yep, we do. We liaise with the Aboriginal Medical Services.
Yes.
We're a Kamaya in the Pilbara,
Beautiful.
For example.
Beautiful, yep. So that conversation is... front and centre, which is so very important. We all need to be on the same page when we're helping our MyBase ACAS.
Definitely. We do.
Well, you sound like you got a skip in your step in regard to how you're speaking about the job that you do, and they're saying if you're getting paid to do what you love, best job in the world. You don't work a day in your life and you're doing that, Cassie.
Yeah.
And thank you very much for sharing, my sister. And big shout out to the medical group, Earbus Foundation. And thank you for your yarn, and you stay deadly, and just keep doing what you're doing, my sister, and help our mob.
Thanks, Trevor, and you too. Thank you so much for having me.
You take care. Beautiful. Thank you, Dale. You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, beautiful yarn. That is a beautiful yarn there with Cassie Hayden, her name is, and she's a First Nation sister, and she's working to close the gap in children's ear health. And she herself suffered poor health, ear health as a child, and working hard to help Indigenous children in the same situation. The fact that she lived in Perth and lived in a big city, she got fixed and everything was all good, but her heart went out to our mob out in communities out in the middle of nowhere. And that's why she put up her hand, took on this role, and working in this industry and doing a fantastic job. That's what it's all about, your mob. Best exercise for your heart when you're bending down, lifting somebody up. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, yarn up strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. Good yarn with your mob, too deadly.
No time for no wine, just a little out of line. Want a bit beyond the right lane, having positive mind frame. Mupa nili dream, kung ailing marchi yuwa firme yaka nitu tiking yan minyal ulain. It's not about fame, kicking goals, opening doors to a new era, making sure it's correct. Not an error, otherwise you will disconnect. And the darkest days won't last forever, even brighter days come sooner or later. Yaka win, tiking marchi babu yurna. Bili ni nungo woi bunga wa. Gotta do what you gotta do, it's up to you. You're gonna have to break through. They turning up the pressure till it breaks you. So break through, come on. They come, they go, but this I know. I will not let them hold me back no more. I shoot, I score, I give my all, my future. I am in control. I am in control.
Yeah, yeah. No matter young and old, having dreams and goals, take control on the fundamental role, negative roles. Having the motive is good for a soul. Keeping the ball, running for the future. Got me feeling like a preacher. There's nothing that you can't achieve when you're a seeker. Keep on moving straight ahead and be your icon like a pillar for the next gen.
Okay. They come, they go, but this I know. I will not let them hold me back no more. I shoot, I score, I give my all, my future. I am in control.
Wanna tell you what they can and can't do, we like.
in control. I am in control.
get on your mouth, Miss Me, Bushtaka Bungee, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
She's standing on the corner, bumming cigarettes. Somebody's daughter could have made it anywhere. She tries to remember her mother's touch. They tried to warn her, but her mind had given up. We all saw the signs before she saw the sign. So many faces coming, so many places running, running from things unspoken. I say, we just take it. One day at a time. A silver liner seeker, searching in a lens. Everyday weaker, trying hard to understand. If you only remembered, we still love. Tried to surrender, but his mind had given up. We missed all the signs before he saw the signs. So many faces coming, so many places running, running from things unspoken. I say, we just take it one day at a time. Not a weekly magazine, time's not a gold wristwatch. Time is a gift, time is all we got. Some times are tougher than others, some nights take too long, some days are hard, take it as it comes. So many faces coming, so many places running from things unspoken. I say, we just take it one day, so many faces coming, so many places running from things unspoken. I say, we just take it one day at a time. Time.
Good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from the Curry, coming live from First Nation Racing Station here in Cairns as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Now, Insulin announces Omnipod Dash Insulin Management System, now available through National Diabetes Service Scheme. Minister for Health and Aged Care announces public subsidy of an innovative technology for the treatment and management of type 1 diabetes. The new public subsidy will make this tubeless and waterproof insulin delivery system accessible to many Australians living with type 1 diabetes who previously could not afford it. Australian living with type 1 diabetes who are interested in finding out more information should speak to their healthcare provider. Look, we're going to catch up a yarn now with JDRF CEO Mark Wilson, OAM. Mark, thank you very much for coming to the program.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here.
Can you tell us more about the Minister's for Health and Aged Care's announcement, please?
Type 1 diabetes is a chronic autoimmune condition which occurs when your body is no longer able to make the hormone insulin. Now, insulin is what turns the food you eat into fuel for your cells, so it's essential. And not having that ability means you need to replace it with insulin injections and finger pricks every day. And this has a significant mental, social, and economic toll on those affected by the disease.
Thanks, Mark. What does the what does this announcement mean for the type 1 diabetes community?
This announcement means that people with type 1 diabetes in Australia have more choice in the technology they can use to help manage their condition, and importantly, more affordable choice, which is great because different technologies work differently for different people. Omnipod was previously unsubsidised, keeping it out of reach for many people due to the cost.
Who will benefit from the Omnipod now being available via public subsidy?
There are over 125,000 Australians living with type 1 diabetes. Many use an insulin pump. Many more would want to use an insulin pump. Now any will have the choice of a range of different pumps, including Omnipod, to choose from.
What advice do you have for Aussies with type 1 diabetes who are interested in assessing Omnipod?
Anyone interested in starting or changing their use of diabetes technology, which can be such an important aid in managing their disease, should talk to their health professional and get qualified advice.
Thank you, Matt. Great talking with you. Look, you take care. All the best. And we'll talk soon. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that was JDRF CEO Mark Wilson, OAM, and just talking about the insulin announces Omnipod Dash, insulin management system now available through National Diabetes Service Scheme, helping our mob out there, helping people out there with diabetes. And it's great that the government's doing their bit in regarding looking after those people in that situation. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? 1-800-422-416.